All right. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you all for bringing us something back from the mount. Amen. I'm glad we can't put it on the refrigerator. I'm glad we can't sit it up on a mantelpiece somewhere. I'm glad it's something that we have to continue to like, feast on. So we praise God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, in the name of Jesus, we pray thy blessings upon the fellowship in thy word, O God, that you might get the glory, that your word would do exactly what you sent it out to do, O God, that no one would leave here lost, confused, or no one would leave here disconnected from thee, that you might bring us all in, God, as your children of a most high God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Praise God for the excited reading of Ezekiel 37. Amen. Today we want to talk about hope beyond what you see. Hope beyond what you see. There is a natural earthly realm and there is a spiritual realm. You may hear Christians say sometimes that you must see it in the spiritual before it manifests itself in the natural. This type of statement is used in reference to God operating in the life of his children. John 4:24 lets us know that God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The way God designed this message, you'll get your 3 points near the end. In other words, to worship God and to fellowship with God and to visualize and accept whatever God is doing in your life, the believer needs to use their spiritual being, not their natural or earthly being. It is through spiritual fellowship and interaction with God through the Holy Spirit that one can sense God working in their lives. You have to have hope beyond what you see, because what you see is in the natural, and what God is doing is in the spiritual. So if you always look in the natural, you'll never know the spiritual. And if you never know the spiritual, you'll be stuck in the natural. And if you belong to God, naturally you're supposed to be spiritual. If we had the earthly realm only to see and believe in, there would be no such thing as a reason for hope. Especially the hope as described in God's word in Romans 8. 24 and 25, for it says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is a hope that the enemy, the devil, does not want the child of God to be aware of. So the enemy only wants the child of God to see the natural, the earthly realm, so that they can be hopeless instead of being hopeful. That's what the enemy does to a lot of us who belong to God. He doesn't want us to get into the spiritual. A believer's hope beyond what they can see is in the spiritual realm, not in the earthly realm. That's why Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God, because we fight against principalities, against rulers, and the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. One need not deny themselves, though. Don't lie to yourself. For what you see in the natural, most of the time, is true. But it's not the whole story. Oh, my. See, when it's not the whole story. What you see might be true, but God's not through with you. It's not the whole story. And the enemy would love you to stop right there, but what you see. Not but what God would have you see in the spiritual realm. That's where we fellowship with him. That's where the truth lies. That's where the blessings come from. Oh, my God. There's a part of your story in the spiritual realm, and there's a part in the natural realm. But you must be able to visualize. You must see the vision to be able to hope and wait for that which you hope for. See, if you never see what God's trying to do, all you got is the natural, you're going to be so disgusted and so despondent despondent and you don't want to hear nothing from God. You think the scriptures don't work. You think they work for everybody else, but they don't work in your house. The only reason they don't work in your house because your house needs a dose of spirituality. Your life needs a dose of spirituality. There comes a point in your life, you got to stop asking folks to keep on praying you through. You got to pray yourself through. Why would I say that? Because everybody can't see it like you see it, because you in it. See, when you in it, you can see it. You can see every part of what you're in. But when you try to explain it as a prayer request, you cannot articulate everything that you see and feel. So sometimes you got to go pray for yourself. You got to tell God, this is what I see. This is what the enemy's trying to do to me. This is what the enemy's trying to make me believe. And I declare, your word tells me that I'm better than that, that I'm more than that, that I'm more precious to you than that. Hope beyond what you see. See, that natural vision can mess you up. That messes us up. So sometimes we look at a person and you can't judge a book by its cover. I don't like her. I don't like him. But you really haven't seen the real person yet. Folks don't really know who you are. They don't know what you've been called to do. Some of us don't even know. Because we still looking at stuff in the natural. Don't be afraid to go into the spiritual realm. That's where God is. They that worship him must worship him in spirit, and it's not no mysterious, crazy thing. This is real. We are spirit, and we are natural. But the spiritual person is the one that's supposed to be in charge once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That old man's supposed to be somewhere sitting in the corner with tape all on his mouth, with his ankles tied together, with his hands tied behind his back, and with tape on his eyes. Like Job, we wait until our change comes. What do you do while you're waiting? Keep on believing God in your spirit. Because that's these folks think you're crazy because they say, nothing ain't changed yet. Yeah, but see, you working on your clock. You working on your day book. You working on what you know about me. But you don't know what God showed me. As a matter of fact, I try to tell you, you probably couldn't handle it and wouldn't believe it. Because the natural man receives it, I don't waste my time no more trying to explain to folk in the natural about what God's trying to do in my life in the spirit. I can't waste my time no more. They don't understand this thing. That's why folk look at you weird, like you got 3 or 4 heads, because it's in the spiritual. This makes no sense. If you're here today in the natural, this message makes no sense to you. It's about the spirit. It's about your flesh. About you giving a whole list of everything you stuck in and all that's happened to you your whole entire life. That's the valley of dry bones. I'm trying to get you up out of the valley. For we walk by faith and not by sight. As we look at our scripture today in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, it's very familiar for some of us. You'll see a hopeless, lifeless, devastated, scattered people who are disconnected, disjointed, disrupted, wiped out, breathless, dried up and out. It appears they are done, and it's all over for them. Anybody ever count you out? Anybody here, somebody just wrote you out? Because of what you've been through and what you look like and what God allowed to happen in your life, and you still worshiping him, you still praising God, and you still going to church, and you still paying your tithes and offerings. But see, they don't realize that they look at that in the natural. You're not trying to pay God. That's a way of worship. You're just waiting on what God promised you. You got to tell your friends and family sometimes, if you can't wait with me, go. Go on by yourself. Go on, do what you got to do. I'm waiting on something. You ever see a junkie waiting on the corner? You ever see somebody waiting for their fix? They were waiting. They'll tell you, go on, I'm waiting for...
If they, if folks can wait in the natural, if you and I used to wait in the natural, why can't we wait in the spiritual? Because God has spoiled us. Sometimes he does it in a millisecond, and sometimes he makes us wait. But when he makes us wait, we think something wrong. When he makes us wait, we think we didn't pray right. When he makes us wait, we think we're not living right. Wait on the Lord. But watch all those people's commentary, all the people you trust and wait on, everybody you tell your stuff to, and you listen to what they say. Is that what God said? Ain't nothing wrong with having friends, but take that commentary and see if it lines up with what God promised you. See if it lines up with the Word of God. They look messed up. This valley of driveway, it was a mess. And it was an open valley, so everybody's walking by, shaking their head like, whoo, what happened to them? Oh, my God. Some folks will do you like that. Oh, what happened to her? They ain't praying for you. What happened to him? They ain't praying for you, praying with you. Oh, that's a shame. They messed up. I told them to leave that stuff alone. But you ain't pray for them to leave it alone. Matter of fact, you But when you get to the valley of dry bones, this is what the natural eye can see. It can only see what was going on or what had happened to the whole house of Israel. The key is that in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, that the collection of scattered, dead, dry bones represented the whole house of Israel. What is the scripture saying to us today? That when we find ourselves in the same kind of situation, we still belong to God. The only reason they got there is because of disobedience and sin. And God knows us. He knows that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But because they had messed up, they still, I wish I had a witness in here. If your children mess up, they still your children. So if God is my daddy, if I mess up, I'm still his. If we would never mess up, why are we supposed to repent and confess and call upon the name of the Lord? I'm not saying make a habit out of it, but God says he knows our frames of dust, and these bones still belong to God. That's one thing I like about God. No matter how much I mess up, he said he still look like good. He look good to me. He still look like my child to me. That's my child. He all over the place, but that's my child. She all over the place. That's my child. They walk in the wrong direction, but that's my child. Oh, I wish I had somebody listen to me today. You got to understand, this is a process. You don't get it right every time. You strive toward perfection. And when trying to get towards perfection, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to make some mistakes, we're going to feel like worshiping sometimes. Oh. Sometimes it's not going to go right, it's not going to look right. No matter how much you pray, and I'm not saying stop praying. I'm saying pray, but believe God for the answer. And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes God will help you and I with a no. Because we think we know, but we don't know. No. No, 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 no. Israel belonged to God. In chapter 36, God promises to restore the nation of Israel. And Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14 is the vision in the spiritual realm as to how God is going to deal with this natural earthly disaster. Yeah. That's what it is. 36, he promised restoration. 37, he said, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you the vision. And he called Ezekiel the prophet. He called Ezekiel the prophet, and he took them in the spirit. Mm-hmm. So if you like the nation of Israel, you belong to God, and you find yourself in a valley of dry bones, if you find yourself in a dry bone situation, you need to be able to see your situation in the spiritual realm the way God sees it. Oh, my God. Otherwise, you will remain in the valley of dry bones. You might as well change your address. I'm not going to serve a God who is the great I am. Omnipotent God. Omniscient God. The omnipresent God, and settle for the valley. Wow. When the promise of God belongs to me, as God shouts, I'm not going to settle for no mess. We might find ourselves in a mess, but you don't have to settle for the mess. God has more for you and I. You might be in a situation right now, but don't settle there. Don't get a mortgage there. Don't buy no furniture there unless God says so. And Jeremiah, he told them to build it up. I'm coming back in 70 years. That's why you got to see things in the spirit. Because if you stay in the natural, you won't never move. You'll never grow spiritually. I don't know what God wants me to do. Because you're still in the natural. God speaks in the spiritual realm and manifests